We'll read together tonight from the 19th Psalm, please. The 19th Psalm. We'll read the whole Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'd like to open up this psalm a little to you tonight. The time's limited, so we'll have to content ourselves by just giving you an outline, but it may open it up and show you what's there for your own private study. The book of Psalms is a treasury of Christian experience. Or should I say, spiritual experience, not Christian experience. Absent from the book of Psalms is the full revelation of God the Father, the completed work of the atonement, and the gift of the indwelling Spirit. Christian experience is not necessarily higher. It's altogether different. This is one of the great psalms, alike in its subject, its profoundness, and its comprehensiveness. It's divided into three parts, and in this is discernible progress of teaching. The grand theme of the psalm is the revelation of God, and no greater could engage our interest and our investigation. God is revealed in a threefold way. God is revealed in the heavens or in creation. God is revealed in his word in the scriptures. And God is revealed in the servant. These are the three parts of the psalm. The whole is a complete revelation of true religion. Natural, revealed, and experimental. Natural in the material creation. Revealed in the Holy Scriptures of truth. And experimental or practical in our lives. It seems to me that the great purpose of this psalm is seen in two very similar statements. And this brings out the exclusive beauty of this 19th psalm. In verse 4, it says, "In them, that is in the heavens, God has set a tabernacle for the sun." That is to say, the heavens exist for the sun. That's its sphere of operation. That's where the sun abides. Then in verse 11, "By them," or "in them," the same in the original, "is thy servant warned." If the heavens exist for the sun, the word of God exists for the Christian, for the servant of God. There are two titles used for God in this psalm. In the first part, it's the EL, the strong God, the mighty God of creation, the one who brought everything into being out of nothing, who controls everything by the word of his power, and who's guiding it to its destined goal. The second is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. It's God in his redeeming relation to the human race. You see, friends, the word of the heavens or creation tells us much, but not enough. The word of God tells us more. We could know nothing about the redeeming love of God in Christ apart from the Holy Scriptures of truth. What we know of God is dependent upon God's revelation. And in the Scriptures, God conveys light and truth that are not to be found in any other place. God revealed in the heavens. The witness of the heavens, friends, is specific. It's incessant. It's inaudible, yet it's intelligible. It is universal. The line goeth forth throughout the earth. And it's all glorious, supreme. God revealed in creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's the same word as the next clause, firmament. They represent that vast, immeasurable where these great clouds voyage, and where the heavenly bodies perform their wonderful revolutions. That boundless sea of air, where sons and sisters sail away across the distant horizon into immensity. The glory of God is the totality of God's perfection. It's the essential excellency of God, His transcendent being. The firmament showeth forth His handiwork, or handwork. It simply means God's skillful productions, His mysterious operations in nature, His infinite variety, order, beauty, regularity, punctuality. The heavens declare these things. Now, I want you to notice, brethren, it says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. From one day to another, interrupted succession. The idea is that the testimony of nature or creation to the glory and handiwork of God is perpetual and incessant. Further, there is no speech or language where the voice is not heard, and their line has gone forth throughout the earth. The testimony of the heavens, although inaudible, is heard in every language and country all over the world. The universality of the witness is emphasized, that without speech or language, the silent heavens testify of God to all men everywhere. And in these heavens, He has set a tabernacle for the Son. In that immeasurable firmament, He has pitched a tent for that great orb of the day. It's described as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Now, the first similar there refers to the vigorous and cheerful appearance of the sun after the darkness of night. And the second refers to His daily course, His going forth is from the end of the heaven and His circuit unto the end of it. At night time, the sun seems to pitch its tent in the heavens at the end of the world over the western horizon, and in the morning He comes up from the east with the joyousness of a bridegroom and with the vigor of a giant again to run His majestic course. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, it doesn't say there's nothing hid from the light. Scientists tell us that all work done on earth is done by solar heat. You can hide the seed from the light, you can't hide it from the sun. It's the sun that germinates the seed. Heat is the quickener of all life. It's the spirit of all motion. There is heat in every breath of air, in every speck of dust, in every blade of grass, in every living thing. The sun supreme. You remember Christ in the New Testament. Christ is spoken of in relation to His countenance. And it's the sun He's compared to. In Matthew chapter 17, His face did shine as the sun. And in Revelation chapter 1, his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. Both of these are night scenes. And it's remarkable. The only light is the light of his glorious countenance. Christ supreme, Christ Lord of the universe. God revealed in the scriptures. We must move. You've got six names or titles here. And you've got the six attributes and the six defects of the Word or the law of God. And then six times over, the title Jehovah is mentioned. My brethren, God is emphasizing that it has its origin and authority from the great Jehovah. Here's the names: the law of Jehovah, the testimony of Jehovah, the statutes of Jehovah, the commandment of Jehovah, the fear of Jehovah, the judgment of Jehovah, the six component parts of the Word of God, and not once, or twice, or thrice, but six times over, Jehovah. It's Jehovah's law, it's Jehovah's word. My friends, the very breath of God permeates every detail and gives character to this wonderful book we hold in our hand tonight. The law is from a verb which means to point out. And I suggest to you, for I believe, it covers in a general sense the complete, the whole revelation of God found in this book. Of course, in the Psalms, it was limited to what was written, but it refers to the whole book of God today. Secondly, the testimony is the witness of God to what God approves and what God disapproves. The statutes of the Lord, that is, God's directing to the servant. And they look upon the immutable decrees of God. Then again, the commandment, that is God's special word to the servant that tells us what we have to do. What I have to do and where I have to go as a servant of the Lord. And that affects, brethren, every sphere of life that we're associated with. Then the fear, it teaches us how to walk humbly with our God. And how to use our life in this dark world of sin. And to see that in our lips and in our heart there is no guile. And then the judgment, that is the revelation of what is right and what is wrong. Now, what are the attributes? The law of the Lord is perfect. Put these over the explanation, over against the explanation I gave, and see how beautiful it is. The whole Word of God, the law of God, is perfect. The testimony of God, what God approves and what he doesn't, that is, it's sure. We can rely on it. The statutes, the direction of the Lord, they're right. There can be no wrong about them and no error. The commandment, absolutely pure. Then, the fear, it endures forever. And the judgments are true and righteous altogether. My dear brethren and sisters, that's the book that God has given us.
See what we lose if we neglect it. See what we gain if we study it and obey it. What is the effect of it? First of all, it says, the law of the Lord, it converts the soul. Here we have the restoring influences of the word. Second, the testimony makes wise the simple, the instructing power of the word. The statutes rejoice the heart, the joyous effect of the word of God. The commandment enlightens the eyes, the enlightening ability of the word. The fear is clean. Here is the purifying virtue of the word, and the judgments more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Here we have the enriching and the endearing capacity of the word of God. All that, brethren, we lose if we neglect it. Now let me come to the application, what I really want to get to tonight. The verbs in the first part of this psalm are all verbs of writing and reading. The verbs in the second part of the psalm are verbs that are related to astronomy. Now that's just contrary to what we would expect. We would expect the second to be first, and the first to be second. Doesn't it show us that every part is intertwined? I think here, God directs us to the heaven or the firmament of Scripture. Now let us look briefly at this psalm in terms of astronomy. And this is a fine way to study it. For instance, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It means returning. Just as the sun returns after the dark night, so in the word of God, man finds his way back to God. It's a wonderful day when that takes place. What a glorious sunrise in our lives. Then the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That refers to the sun enlightening the world, driving away the darkness and bringing the light. So that this very book, Psalm 119, says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God gives light to the darkened soul. Also, we read in the New Testament, don't we, that God's word is like a light shining in a murky place until the day dawn and the day star arise. We need to pray, lighten our darkened minds, Lord. Illuminate our being through thy word. The prayer of the psalmist, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In keeping of them is great reward. That's the same idea as the astronomer, watching, observing the heavens. Think of the patient investigation of the astronomer. They'll spend days and nights and weeks and months and years ever improving the means of finding out some mystery in the heavens. My dear brethren and sisters, there are countless treasures in this blessed book still undiscovered, which await the diligent student of the Word of God. And what a reward when we find these. But remember this, God's Word will never open up to the indolent, but only to the diligent. It demands our closest investigation. And then it says, his errors, verse 14. Now that word is the same word as wandering. Like wandering stars. No wonder the psalmist says, keep back thy servant. And you know that word refers to the restraining and controlling power of God that keeps these heavenly bodies in their proper sphere and moving in perfect order and harmony. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God keeps us from wandering. You remember what Job 38 says? Sweet influence of Cleitus. Oh, may it keep us on the narrow way and prevent us from wandering away at strange paths. Then it says, by them or in them is thy servant warned. See, just as the sun abides in the heavens, the believer abides in the Word of God. My dear brethren and sisters, this is the only way in which to let the Word of God dwell in us, is to dwell in the Word of God. Dwell in it. Move in it. Just as the sun moves in the heavens. Then we are warned against secret faults, that sins of the heart. And against errors, that sins of the mind. And against presumptuous sins, that swelling tumours, that sins of the life. Open, glaring, God-defying iniquities that bring us into bondage. Little wonder the psalmist said, let them not have dominion over me. Then the psalmist says, shall I be upright, and I shall be kept from the great transgression. What does that mean? I believe it means an evil heart of unbelief. We're kept from that in departing from the living God. The word there is revolt. It's the great apostasy, turning from God. The prayer of that last verse is beautiful. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, word-guarded conversation, and the meditation of my heart, here's the secret. How do we control our tongue, our lips? My friends, the Word of God keeps us pure as we meditate upon that Word. That's the secret. The psalmist says, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be like a burnt offering. Acceptable, that's the Word. Shall we pray that prayer tonight? Let the meditation of our heart and the words of our lips be like a burnt offering acceptable to God. You know, in the book of Leviticus, the vessel that had a covering was never defiled. The vessel had no covering was defiled. That is a figure of the heart. And that's how you keep the heart pure, meditating on the Word of God. Now let me apply it. What will the servant be like who is paying heed to this book? And I believe this is what God wants us to grasp. He'll be like the sun in the heavens. God made two great lights. Genesis 1, the greater light through the day, and the lesser light the night. My brethren, the sun is God's great servant. It abides in the heavens. That's its sphere. And the servant of God will be like the sun coming out of his tabernacle in the morning to run his race. What glorious sunrises we've witnessed. The sunrise captivates the imagination of the artist. The photographer, the astronomer, the scientist. It catches the imagination of all. The servant will be like the sun, rising to run his daily course. Moreover, he'll be joyous like the bridegroom, young, fresh, ready for his daily course, and also like a strong man to run a race. Here's a strong man. He's disciplined. He's trained. He's fit. That's what the Christian will be like. And then it's going forth, this is one end of the earth to the other. That speaks to their steadfastness. Did you ever see that sun, friends, interrupted? Nothing can interrupt it. It pursues its course against all weathers, against all opposition. Nothing can interrupt that sun. And there's no deviation from the path. That's God's great servant. My dear brothers and sisters, that's the picture the psalmist would leave with us. The difference between the Son as a servant of God and we is this. That Son moves mechanically under the hand of God. It can't alter. You and I are self-determined human beings. We are morally self-created. We must be willing to abide in God's ways, in God's path. Further, there's nothing hid from the sun. Here's its beneficent influence in the world. The sun is the source of all light and all heat. What would the world be like without it? It brings life. It brings growth. It brings fruitfulness. It brings beauty. It brings healing on its wings. That's the sun. That's the picture God would leave with us tonight. The man or woman that's dwelling in the Word, that knows his God, that's what will characterize him. Further, and I must close with this, and that is, the sun is the great timekeeper. It regulates times, seasons, years, millenniums. It tells men when to rise. It tells men when to go to bed. It tells men when to work. Tells men when to sleep. It tells us when it's time to sow and it's time to reap. That's what his brother was telling us tonight. And before ever I heard his ministry, here's the line of thought I want to close on. First, the scripture he read. It's high time to awake out of your sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The sun would tell us that. My friend, the scriptures would tell us that. And God is not only speaking to us through that great servant, the sun, but through the scriptures. It's high time to awake. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And the Lord says, are there not 12 hours in the day? And he said, work while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. And further, Paul says in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying up the time, making full use of every moment because the days are evil. And didn't the Lord say, say not in your heart, there are 4 months yet to the harvest. Look upon the harvest field. They're quite already to harvest. Is that God's word to us tonight? Beloved brethren and sisters, it's time to awake out of your sleep. It's time to work. It's time to redeem and buy up the time. It's time to reap. All that will soon be gone. But then, the sun not only shines, the sun speaks. You and I have not only to be the great timekeeper, shining on the world and telling them what time it is, but we've to tell them by our lip. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Have we got the message? God reveals himself through the heavens. God has set that great shepherd there. God reveals himself in the scriptures. And it's as we live in the scriptures, we'll become and fulfill our us, just like that great servant in the heavens in this dark world that we're living in. May God bless his word to us, for his name's sake.